hello, everybody. Welcome to Profound Truth. And today, we have a beautiful topic, a personal relationship with God. Wow, that's beautiful, beautiful for everybody. And of course, I want to tell you that I have a beautiful guest, a handsome man for the Lord, of course. And this is my brother, Robert. I think you guys saw him before. This is definitely my brother, Bob. How are you doing, Bob, today? Oh, hold on a sec.
Hey, Ignacio. Estamos aquí.
How's everything?
Okay, it's a cold day in Connecticut, you know.
Wow.
We had snow last night and snow, I think, tomorrow night. Freezing cold outside, going down to 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight.
That's
probably like minus 15 Celsius.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. I know we have like 3 or 4 inches last week, and I would say last week almost, yeah, on Tuesday, and really was hot. I mean, it was cold because the snow got frozen, you know, become a kind of like a little eye, even for the next day. We still have those, you know, but definitely we are blessed. God, besides everything going on, you know, God is still in control, and we are His child. We are His children, and we know that we have some beautiful play that He Himself went to prepare for us. And you know, I love this episode because basically it was my brother Robert who came with this topic, you know, with I would say almost everything. And I would love, Robert, that you really explained. And this is good because you already been teaching this particular topic, you know, in different language, Spanish and English. And of course, we're gonna have you for tomorrow episode 2 in the Spanish podcast that we have. And of course, I wanted to tell you, everybody, that, you know, my brother Ernie was not able to make it today. He usually is one of the co-hosts on Saturday. But we love you, brother, to you and your family. God bless you and see you next episode. And before we start, we're going to be praying and then diving into this amazing episode. I don't know, Robert, if you can address the prayer for us to start.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the opportunity to be together across the miles, to share some ideas, to celebrate the personal relationship that we have with you. That seems almost illogical that we could have a personal relationship with an almighty God. However, it's what Jesus taught us was possible. And so guide our hearts, guide our thinking, guide our thoughts, and help us to grow spiritually in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. This is good. This is good. Like I said, this is my brother, Robert. And just for you guys to know, he's been here in different episodes, you know. And of course, we want everybody to understand that he also is a excellent counselor, you know, many years of experience in counseling. And of course, today we're going to explore this amazing topic, Robert. A personal relationship with Jesus or God. Robert, when you hear this topic, what has come to your head?
Well, I have to say that there was a basic idea that came to me through our Sunday school class. Wow. And I just kind of, we take turns at our church. The adults take turns teaching the class. And we have a lot of great discussion. It's a really nice class. But when each person teaches, they take the thoughts and they develop them in their own way. Wow. And this lesson talked about Nicodemus. When Jesus said to called Nicodemus by name, he said, "Hey, Nicodemus, come on down. I'm coming over to your house." And we can talk more about that in a bit. But that was a personal relationship. And as they talked about that, I thought, well, we have relationships with people too, with each other. And maybe a good way to understand our relationship with God is to make some comparisons to the types of relationships we have with people. Yeah. So I know that they can run from superficial to personal. They can sometimes be transactional. And we can talk a little bit about superficial relationships, transactional relationships. I think it's common to have a transactional relationship with God. Before I had my personal faith and my personal relationship with Jesus, I have to say it was quite transactional. If I needed something, I would ask God for it. God would give it to me or not, but we just kind of, you know, you got my back, I got yours. Wasn't really a high quality communication.
That's good. And you know, it is interesting that you say that, Bob, because in today's episode we will be able to explore really what is a deep, intimate personal relationship with God, and how really this concept is really being related, if it's a relationship just transitional or transactional, you know, for benefit or whatever, and how from there we can dive into a really, really personal relationship to, you know, to make it a deep relationship, not only just because I need Jesus or just because I need the Lord to save me or to give me this, but also, you know, because I have been influenced for him to love him, you know, because he has already loved me. And man, I'm dying to hear in depth all these concepts of a personal relationship with Jesus. And I don't know if you have the Bible. Do you have a Bible right there with you that you can
Yes, I look things up right on my phone here. I like Bible. Gateway.
Okay. Gateway. Yeah, I like that one too. Definitely. And I let read just a couple of verses that you have from Nicodemus, if you can just for set up the theme, you know.
Okay. Nicodemus. Yeah. Zacchaeus. We're talking about Zacchaeus today. But before we talk about Zacchaeus, let's go back to, there's a song that's pretty amazing that talks about how personal God can be with us. And I suppose in some ways, if you're not brought up with the idea of having a personal relationship with God, it might seem kind of foreign, the idea of being able to, of God being interested in like one particular person, with all the wars going on around the world and all of the political problems, you know, and all of the problems in the world. Like, why would God have a personal relationship with me? And how could that even be possible? Why should he be talking to me when he's got more important people to talk to?
I know.
But this is what the psalm says. It's a pretty amazing psalm. It's Psalm 139. It's a psalm of David. And David wrote, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So, I thought it's nice to start with that Psalm 139, because it talks about God knitting us in our mother's womb, really knowing us from the time of our conception, knowing us and not being able to flee from his presence, that we can't. He's with us. We may feel that God is far at times, at difficult times, but we can't get away. We can't. He's always available, and we can pray continuously.
That's a good example. You know, I even put it on the screen, the life of Lothars, which have another psalm, you know, from David, which is 139. And still, you know, we couldn't see that God has a magnificent relationship with David, because even he did a lot, you know, flaw, a lot, mistake, a lot of sins, just like us, you know, God was able to say that David has his heart according God, you know, according to God's heart. And when God says something about, you know, any of his children like that, man, that's something great, because it's not Ignacio or Bob or Ernie or Raquel who said, it's God himself. And I also have, you know, another, and we know that the Bible has a lot of experience, you know, or showing different type of relationship, you know. And I don't know, we will, I think in different activity together, we have been able to speak a little bit about the woman, the Samaritan woman. Do you remember that? Is, I think it's in John 4. Yeah, when Jesus speak with this Samaritan woman at the well, right? And, you know, because human mind will jump, the disciple was surprised, because Previous to that particular encounter, Jesus sent them to go to get, you know, food in the close area for them to eat. And then when they come back, when they return, they see Jesus talking with this woman. They didn't even ask. They just making the assumption on their thought. Maybe this is it. Maybe he's trying to, you know, connect. But God has a purpose, because this particular woman is not just a simple woman. She was from Samaria. You remember that location, the Jews and this particular people, they don't get along, you know, because the Jews were thinking that they are not real Jews because they only have blood. And some type of internal conflict, so much that even if the Jews were walking in that area, they might attack, and if they were walking in Jews area, they might also be an attack, you know. They have a deep conflict. But look at Jesus. He connected with this lady, and not only connected with her, offer directly water you know, because he told her that if you drink of the water that I want to bring to you, to give it to you, guess what? You're never going to be thirsty anymore. Wow.
Yes. And the relationship was very personal. His approach to her was very personal. He asked her for water, and she said, that's kind of strange that you would ask me and you have nothing to dip with. And as they got talking, he mentions your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And Jesus says something like, well, you've had several, and the one that you're with now isn't your husband. So he knew all of this.
Yeah.
Now, he hadn't been stalking her. It wasn't a creepy thing.
No.
It was that Jesus knows us personally. He knows our thoughts and knows our relationships, but that was very personal because he knew the details.
Yeah, that is true. And you real clear say something unique on that, because she jumped on and respond immediately, oh, I think you're a prophet. You know my thing. I think you're a prophet.
Yeah. So, yeah, in his relationships with most people were personal. Many people, he knew them by name. He called Lazarus to come out of the tomb and so on and so forth. The Zacchaeus story, Jesus, it's from Luke chapter 19. Oh, wow. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, when he came to pass through a town, of course, he had this reputation of being a great teacher. So there were crowds of people that came with him and crowds of people that waited to try to see him. And Zacchaeus, he was a short guy. He was not very tall, and he couldn't see above the crowd. So he climbed a tree in order to see. So if any of our listeners ever went to Sunday school as children, they probably sang some of those songs. Now Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Some of those songs. Zacchaeus is kind of well known to the children.
Yeah.
But he climbed this sycamore fig tree, because he wanted to see Jesus. And he must have been curious. But as soon as Jesus got close, he says, hey, Zacchaeus, come down immediately, because
today
I'm going to stay at your house today. So how personal is that?
Oh,
to
goodness.
Kind of invite yourself to somebody's house.
Very personal.
So Zacchaeus responded very positively, except just like the woman at the well, Zacchaeus wasn't known for being the most honest guy around. He was a tax collector.
Oh, man.
And I mean, we don't get upset with people if they say, I work at the IRS. That's okay. That's a job and so forth.
Yeah.
But in Zacchaeus's case, he was collecting taxes for Rome, and Rome was an occupying state.
Basically, so they were enemy, right?
They were occupying Israel. So they did a lot of Israelis didn't really believe that he had this right to, you know, this right to be collecting the taxes for Rome. And Rome would tell him how much to collect. He would collect that much, and any more that he could get would be his. He just had to pay the amount that they owed. So people didn't really like Zacchaeus. He was the boss of a bunch of collectors that would go around and collect money from people in the name of taxes for the emperor of Rome. So he wasn't a popular guy, and he was exactly the one that Jesus went to find and to stay at his house. So I guess we could say that Jesus not only wants a personal relationship with us, but he wants a personal relationship with folks that you wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Folks that you wouldn't think would be on the A-list of this prophet.
This is an important highlight that you make, because besides he being working for the other side, you know, because in that particular time, Israel was very certain that the Roman was not their friend, you know. And if a person is collecting taxes, you know, it's already bad. But if you're collecting taxes for the enemy, to your friend, to your people, then they see you like the worst of the worst. And how come Jesus come to the house of this guy if he is one of the worst of the worst, you know? Like, in their minds, there is no explanation. In fact, they even told, you know, if this would be a prophet or somebody from above, he wouldn't know who is this person. You know, like, my relationship, in other words, I see this, and help me understand if this is, could be a way. But the way that they were looking a relationship with God in that particular instance was, if that person is bad, you have to punish that person, because this is not a good person for God being looking for that person, right? What do you think?
Yeah, the people were much. They said, hey, they even wanted to punish Jesus for taking an interest in him. They said, they muttered, they mumbled. They said, like, who is this guy that he's going to eat with sinners and he's going to hang out with the likes of this?
Yeah.
I guess we can think a little bit about, I don't want to get too far from our relationship with God, but it's our relationship with each other, too. Like, you think about a person who walks into church on a Sunday morning and nobody knows him, but he's kind of smells of alcohol, or he smells of marijuana smoke, or he kind of doesn't have a good manner, or he keeps mumbling to himself. And so the model of Jesus, of course, is to take this person even closer, because it could, because we have to show them the possibility of a personal relationship. It's like a first step, is how Christians treat other people. So that's kind of a little side thing, but it's interesting that, yeah, definitely. If Jesus hung out with the Samaritan woman and Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and many other examples, we should be open to every person that walks through the doors of our church, open to forming some kind of a bond, getting to know their name, asking them some things about how it's going, and being legitimately interested.
Yeah. And you know, Bob, I love that the fact that Jesus' interaction with the woman, with almost every people that he met on his way, on his journey, is an example of a personal relationship, you know, that we really can see that Jesus meets these people and spoke to them directly, you know, where they are. Because sometimes like and a very particular observation from the woman of the well, the Samaritan woman, you notice that she went at noon to get water. And usually in that culture, by that time they usually go in the morning to get, you know, as a team together, all the women together to bring the water. But this particular one, she was so broken heart, you know, seeking a relationship amongst other men, probably looking for somebody to love her, you know, for real, and for once in her life, looking for that personal relationship, you know. But because she was so ashamed that maybe people are looking at her like the worst of the worst, you know.
Right, she kind went, of avoiding those people that mumbled about her by going when no one else was there.
And I love that he went direct. He spoke to all those people directly, you know, where they were. But offers salvation that is both, you know, immediately and eternal for them. Because I never see a woman or a person that being saved and start immediately preaching out, because she immediately went to back to the town. She forgot the chains that she might, you know, that she was carrying in that particular time. She forget about. She was released from that, and she went to the town to tell people,
okay,
"Hey, there is a beautiful and personal, intimate relationship that you can make with this person that I think is the Messiah."
So when you think about her and Zacchaeus not being the most popular people in town, yet experiencing the love of Jesus, and Jesus coming like in a personal way to them, you can see that you don't really have to be good or popular or able to put money in the collection plate in order to have this to feel the personal love of Jesus Christ. That if we do anything good, it's because we want to share the love that Jesus shared with us, not because we want to obtain his love.
Yeah.
So that's where we had this idea of the transactional relationship.
Mm.
Like, if you think of human relationships and how human relationships might be kind of shadows or patterns for our relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
You think, okay, how about a traditional marriage? In the traditional marriage, you know, maybe the fellow, sorry, this gets really traditional, but maybe the fellow brings home the bacon, you know, he has a job, he brings home the money, he gives it to the wife cooks the dinner. The wife cooks a dinner, and then she cleans while he's kind of watching TV or something. But there's a kind of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. This kind of a two-way street. There's a lot of business transactions are like this. You know, we'll sell this many things for this much money. You know, or we'll transport your things for this reason. But it's like an exchange. Like, I keep track of what you got me for Christmas, because what I'm going to give you for Christmas is going to be about the same value for a birthday, you know, that it's going to somehow have to even out.
Kinda
I'm not
like
here
a competition.
Just to get from you, but what I get from you, I'm going to balance with what I do for you. And so that's it. Okay, I was baptized. God wanted me to be baptized. I got baptized. I should be doing pretty well with God right now.
Yeah, because I did something.
God wanted
me
to have my confirmation. I was confirmed. Nice. God said to obey the Ten Commandments. If I go down that list of Ten Commandments, I think I'm doing pretty well. Not perfect, but at least I know how to earn God's love by obeying his commands.
Wow.
That's a transactional relationship with God that I guess we all do. I have to confess, when I was a young teen, I was in Boy Scouts. We went for to a YMCA pool, and my dad was driving a group of us home in his old car, and the car broke down and wouldn't start. And I remember praying as a young teenager, God, just make that car start, and I'll follow all the Ten Commandments, I promise. So it's, you know, like thinking in terms of what God can do for us and trying to earn that by doing things for God. But that's not the kind of personal relationship that we're talking about when we mean having a personal relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's quite different, but I think many of us fall into that trap.
You know, you really are trying to help people understand that how a personal relationship or early, you know, I would say our human relationship can be reflecting on what is the type of relationship that we have with God. And mimic, you know, because we know that in Hebrews said that the things that has been created in this world were made of the things that cannot be seen, you know, but are real. And definitely a lot of things that we have today here are a shadow of what is really the magnificent, optimum relationship that God is seeking from us, you know. And in that sense, you know, I want you to help me understand, because yes, there are fake relationships between human, and this relationship that appear to be genuine, you know, but lack of them. Because
right, superficial relationships. Yeah, like
definitely.
I know you take 2 sugars in your coffee. If I'm going to make you a coffee, I'll put in the 2 sugars because I know this about you. But I don't really know what keeps you up at night, what makes you worried, what you really like to do, what your aspirations and your hopes and dreams are. That's now moving into a more personal than superficial relationship with God. I think a personal relationship, and you'll have your own ideas, it means like with people, it's having the lines of conversation open, having some trust, being able to talk about anything, being able to share things that are deep and personal, valuing the other person and wanting to make that person happy regardless of what you might get in return. I mean, that's the kind of love that Jesus has for other people. It's like, it's like wanting to make, wanting to heal another person's life, but not expecting something in return, and not going at it for what you can get. So it's like we say to God, you know, what you did for me when you forgave my sins, what you did for me when you came into my life, what you did for me is just the right thing. And I want to share that love with other people because of what you've done, as opposed to what, you know, that superficial transactional thing that a lot of people get into when they say, well, listen, God, this is what I need and this is what I'm willing to do to get it.
Yeah. You know, you remind me you remember when we were, I think it's Chris or Spin, that you were talking about the Samaritan, the robber, you know, the person that was robbed by the gang, and then the Samaritan did something good for that person. And by you describing how Jesus wanted a type of relationship with us, or the way that he showed off, you know, was unconditional. Like, I'm doing something for you without expecting something back. And by looking this Samaritan, he did so much for that person without even knowing it, and without expecting that person to pay him, you know. Definitely this is the relationship. The guy would
took him to the hospital and he paid the hospital bill, and anyone else might have said, listen, I got you covered this time, but when you get back on your feet, maybe you could give it back or something. Instead, he said to the doctor, he said, if there's anything else that he needs, give it to him and I'll be back and I'll cover that too. So instead of asking for something back, he offered to cover it into the future, you know.
To collect.
It's Jesus' love, and it's sharing that relationships. It makes a difference in our relationships with each other, with other people too, when we know the way that Jesus loves us, and we experience that, then we're able to share that love with other people. Because it's easy to go through the day feeling resentful, a little bit angry, a little bit upset with the way other people treat us, and so on and so forth. And we can go through the whole day being mad or feeling cheated.
Yeah, that is true.
but instead, with a personal relationship with Jesus, we can go through the day thinking about the way that Jesus would would act, would treat the these very people that are maybe making us angry, and we can fill our hearts with love instead, remembering what he did for us.
Yeah, yeah. And it is interesting, you know, you definitely explained what is a superficial relationship where basic likes and dislike are known, right? But the connection really doesn't go much deeper. This is really what you explained. But what would it be like a transitional relationship, Bob?
Transactional?
Yeah, transactional, yeah.
Yeah, that was when you expect something in return, or you act on somebody in order to get what you want from them. So you're it's a series of transactions. I do this for you, you do that for me.
Wow.
And I think that's one of the immature relationships that people have with God, when they don't really think much about God until they get sick or can't pay the rent. And then they reach out to God. Hey, yo, I need something. And then they go to church the next Sunday because, after all, that might improve their chances a little bit of getting what they need or something like that.
Wow.
And it's not like a person who's on his deathbed, who's never been religious, shouldn't reach out to God. God will be there.
Yeah.
God will be there for that person. But it's just a shame that they go through so many years without.
And you know, Bob, we might think, what are you talking about, this type of relationship? But in some point, I would say that almost everybody has been able to use this type of relationship, a transactional relationship. Lord, I'm doing this because I'm expecting this, Lord. And sometimes those type of relationship, when you don't see the results, when you don't see what you are expecting to receive, you know, or to get, then you go deep down, you know, like you said, you know what, I thought that I have a relationship with God, but now I don't see he respond to my need. And then your relationship start going even down than what it was supposed to be, you know, because we are just using a transitional relationship with God. I mean, transactional relationship with God. And, you know, this type of relationship is just, like you say, these are give and take relationship where each party expects something in return. Now, however, God doesn't want us to have this type of relationship. What would it be a beautiful and personal relationship that God expects from us, Bob, that you might have?
Well, I don't experience this all the time, but I aspire to this and work hard at it. If you're at prayer with God, really take the time to meditate and to pray, then the Holy Spirit quite often will guide you. Now, sometimes you hear someone in church say that they received a message from the Spirit. They really felt like they needed to, like, reach out to another individual and give them some love, or they needed to make a change in their own life, but they felt as though God had spoken to them. Now, that could be a little bit off-putting to some folks who say, well, what do you mean God speaks to you? But in meditation and prayer, there are times that when it's a personal relationship, we feel God giving us some guidance, maybe saying, hey, you know what you did the other day, that wasn't right. You should ask for forgiveness. You should repent of that and make a change. Amen. Or saying, hey, there's a sister at church that has some particular needs. You don't know what they are, but you've seen her weeping and sobbing, and, you know, she needs somebody just to reach out and give a little bit of, show a little bit of interest.
Wow, that is true.
So, and keeping the conversation open. It's kind of funny. I worked in psychiatric hospitals, and people who suffer from schizophrenia, it's not uncommon for them to hear auditory hallucinations. So they may be talking to themselves or laughing to themselves in a corner of the room, and you know, it's kind of chalked up to maybe it's a hallucination experience, and that's okay. But when you're out in the streets now, so many people have earbuds in their ears that everybody's walking around talking to somebody, yeah. And it looks like they're talking to themselves, and
yeah.
You know, it's kind of all strange. But the Christian has the ability to talk to Jesus, like, on an open and continuous basis. When you can say some words of praise. When you say some words of praise, a lot of the negativity goes away. When you pray for somebody who really needs prayer, then even an enemy, then your mood changes. We all have kind of an enemy. I don't know. You could have as an enemy, you could have a boss that you really dislike. Mm. It could be a landlord, a homeowner, a neighbor, someone that you really dislike, a relative, an in-law you dislike. It could be a political leader that you really dislike. And a lot of people today are going through that kind of thing with a country sort of divided. But if you pray for those people, I mean, just kind of keep that open, talking to God, praying for those people, your mood is different. You don't feel so angry and so frustrated and so put upon. You know, your mood is different because you're praying that God will bless that person, will give them some guidance, will give them some light, will take things over. So it's a more positive outlook. And that's the kind of personal relationship. Mm. When you talk to your spouse, hopefully you kind of have an open two-way flow of conversation, right?
Yeah.
And you're thinking together and your minds are kind of solving things and coming together. And that the kind of prayer relationship that people have, that people can have when their relationship with God is personal. It doesn't have to be five Our Fathers and six Hail Marys. It can be walking down the street and saying, wow, I'm really feeling angry at so-and-so. I want to pray for that person because I know that you love that person.
Yeah.
And I want you to make me an instrument of your love.
That is true. That is true, Bob. And, you know, I would try to describe what is really an idea of personal relationship might look like. And something that I love is that a personal relationship with Jesus is like the deepest, most trusting human relationship. And it's based on trust. You know, it's not based on those things that we described before. And in order for you to have a relationship that is based on trust, we have to be able to, you know, connect with Jesus in a very deeper way that David connects with God, the Samaritan woman connects with Zacchaeus. You say, what was the name of the
tax collector?
The tax collector, yes. Oh, I forgot his name.
I know it's really different between English and Spanish. In English, people say Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus. and in Spanish, I think it's Zacchaeus, right?
Yes.
Okay. Zacchaeus. Perfect. And, you know, there are another guy, I forgot his name, but I think it's mentioned just a tax collector, who invite Jesus to his house, and then he invite all the people, all the tax collector, and have a beautiful dinner. But then a woman came over. I don't know if you remember that story. A woman came over and started crying. She was a prostitute.
Yes.
She started crying, but she used her body you know, I mean, her to wipe it off with the tears on the feet of the Lord. And then a very expensive perfume she has, she put spread on his feet. But that guy who invited Jesus to his house immediately start criticizing him. If this man would be God or the Son of God, whatever, he wouldn't know who is this woman and wouldn't allow her. And I love the fact that Jesus said, hey, he has a name, I forgot his name, but to the host of the party, he said, let me give you this analogy. What do you think, who do you think is forgive most or will be more appreciating about the forgiveness? A man that has, I would say, 100 denarii that owe to his landlord, whoever it might be. I'm just paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. And then there is another one that owe 1,000 denarii, but both of them are forgiven. Who do you think will be more appreciating, more appreciative of that forgiveness? And the guy say, I guess the one that own more. You got it, you just right, said the Lord. Look at this woman. Since I came here, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't even brought water for me to wash my feet. That was a tradition in that particular location. And this woman hasn't stopped washing my feet. And she, with her tears, with her perfumes, and drying it with her hair. And now I'm going to tell you that this woman, as much longer since she has been forgiven. Now, that's shocking because remember, this guy was, a scribe or some of those people that pretend to be better than in the community.
He had some authority, yeah.
Yeah, and it is easy for them to judge those individuals because they think they are above in a better relationship with God just because they have a better society in this society, you know, a better position, a better status. And the reality, if you don't have a heart that trusts the Lord, it doesn't matter how good you think you are. And I love this statement of Max, John Maxwell. He said, you might be good, but you are not that good. I love that. Because that puts you down, you know.
Yeah.
And what is another way that we can also improve our relationship? You know, because there are empathy that you can, intimacy, you know, the factors that can really add to a relationship with Jesus. Why do you think it's important to add those factors and then to keep growing or developing your relationship with God?
Well, you mentioned the word empathy, and I suppose if you think about the life of Jesus, especially as we're talking about Jesus with a prostitute, a tax collector, and a woman who has a bad reputation, about him reaching out to those people, loving those people, even though the society would judge him for that. When you think about that, that really is a sign of empathy.
Yeah.
And so when we think of the love that Jesus has for these people, he really had empathy for them. Empathy is when you're really able to, at least in your mind, in your heart, put yourself in someone else's situation. And,
wow.
And not just say, hey, I know how you feel. But I mean, you actually, you wouldn't say that, but inside you would actually feel something of what they're feeling, as opposed to sympathy. Sympathy is just simply having a feeling for what's going on in that person's life. But it's not. But empathy is getting down there and really, really understanding what's the pain that the person is going through.
And look, they sounds kind of similar, but they are not similar. They sounds, you know, all those two words that you explained, the empathy, the sympathy, they sounds kind, but it's not the same, you know.
And Jesus was empathic. He loved people regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless of who they were. Now, that made a change in Zacchaeus's life. He said to him, "Look, salvation has come to your house today." And Zacchaeus said, "Well, you know, if I've ever kind of cheated anyone, as if everyone didn't know that that's what he did, that I'd make it up to them three times over. That's what I'll do." And he changed his ways. He reformed.
Yeah.
And that would be a kind of a personal relationship with Jesus of trust, is saying, "Well, I could give back the money that I took, the money that I stole, and I'll still be okay because Jesus, you and I are okay. You love this person. I love this person.
Wow.
And I'm going to make it up to them."
And beside the empathy that Jesus had also, I see all over the place that Jesus also used intimacy with every person that he established a personal relationship with them. What do you think?
When he went to the grave of Lazarus, to the tomb, he cried.
Yeah.
The shortest verse in the Bible, right? Jesus wept. So yeah,
that's true.
So he there's like no end of examples of people in the Bible who had Jesus like actually come to them in a personal way, call them by name. Lazarus, come on out of there. Zacchaeus, come on down from there. getting to a person by name makes it a personal relationship, and the people changed. Zacchaeus came to life. Lazarus came to life. Zacchaeus decided to pay back and to stop cheating. Maybe he still collected taxes. He just wasn't corrupt about it.
Yeah. Because he said, even if I have, I remember that, if I have, you know, in some way hurt somebody in taking something that is not from, you know, mine, I would pay four times what I owe that person. I mean, that's a radical change right there.
And imagine what that does for a person's mental health too, to be able to own up to like the first step of like one of the early steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, is like did this moral inventory of myself and
sadly,
and accepted the fact that I had wronged some people and that I was going to make it right.
Wow, I love it.
It's a little bit more healthy than just I'm walking down the street and I see someone that I did something wrong to, and I have to cross the street because either I'm embarrassed or I don't want the person to haul off and slug me, but I have to keep my distance from this person that I wronged. And in this new way of looking at the world, think of how much more healthy it is just to say, "Hey, listen, I did wrong. I'm want to make it up to you. And here it is, four times."
Yeah. Wow. I have a verse in Hebrews 4 that I think is so amazing. It's in, of course, in this particular between Hebrews 4 verse 15 and 16, the Bible reminds us, you know, that Jesus empathized with our weakness. But verse 16, I love this because it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Wow, this is really powerful, because we know that sometimes we have been exposed, you know, what is a fake relationship might be, you know, and then we think that's the concept for us to have a really real intimate relationship. And we also might have been exposed to a fraudulent relationship, you know, or a beneficial relationship. And that's the concept that we might know, you know. And when we approach to any spouse, that's the relationship that we presented, because that's what we know. But today, in this particular episode, we want you guys to understand that how you can really establish a personal relationship with Jesus in a way that is not a relationship that exchanges something. If I need something, I'm going to ask you something. Like you were saying, Bob, that if somebody pray like, okay, God, today I need to pay my bills, so I'm going in this mode, you know, intimate mode, until I get my prayer response, you know. But once I don't have those needs, then I go in superficial relationship mode. And we don't try to keep this relationship as Jesus himself showed how to be, you know, how to be in a relationship. Because Jesus himself said to the husband, love your wife as Jesus loved church. And then if you go back, how did Jesus love the church? You see that he gave it the whole, his whole being to church, to people, to the people. And that's the type of relationship that he went off to establish with him. What do you think,
right,
Bob?
There was no church at that time. So it was just what you said. It was the people, the people of the church, the people are. And you read from Hebrews, let us approach the throne of grace boldly. You can only approach a throne boldly if you know that the person sitting on the throne wants to have a personal relationship with you.
Yeah,
unless that's personal. So that's kind of faith and trust, knowing that God is open to, wants a personal relationship with us. You know what I mean? That gives us the faith and the confidence to be able to go boldly and say, listen, I really messed up. I really haven't lived my life the way you want me to live my life. But I'm here looking for forgiveness, and I want to serve you. But I want to enter into a personal relationship, a knowledge, a communication, an openness, not hiding things.
Wow. I love it. I love it. This episode is really something that I think is, it's not just in 1 hour we can describe what really a personal relationship with Christ look like, because it has so much details. It have trust. It have know that person. You know, like you said, if you boldly want to approach to that throne, you need to really understand who is that in that throne, right? To know that person. And that's why I get so amazed and fascinated with the relationship that David has with God, because Jesus hasn't been able to die for us, but God always has established a way for humanity connect with him and have a personal relationship with him. Because I mean, if you read Psalm 139, you will see that in that particular chapter beautifully captures the sins of a personal relationship with God. You know, David speak of God all in compassionate presence and knowledge for us, you know, like really, really. Even from our mother womb, he say, or in this particular psalm, say, you know, reassurance that we already been separated for the purpose of the Lord. And we've been, like Jeremiah also was sometime trying to stop carrying this message from the Lord. And he said, I was trying to trouble, but there was something inside of me that was this fire of the Lord that was breaking him out, that he had to continue talking. When you have really a foundation or a founder, solid founded relationship with God, there is nothing that can break it. Because even when you're going from the difficult time, you can say, Lord, I know you are with me. Because we just mentioned a few, but once Jesus died and resurrected, those apostles became with us beautiful, strong relationship with God, that even they didn't care about how, if they die or live. And a personal relationship with Jesus is not just, like you said, a convenient moment or transactional relationship. You have to be all the way. Whether you are in abundant times, maybe you are in lack of abundance, you know, or it doesn't matter what is your current situation. With your personal relationship with God, have to be all in trust, in love, continually feeding and feeding it, you know, to grow even bigger and bigger. Wow. But what is last thought that you want to share about this personal relationship with God before we move? But whoever want to continue hearing this, we're inviting you for tomorrow episode, which is going to be on Spanish. But if not, we have to bring Bob again to really go in deep on all the type of relationship, you know, that we might be experimenting.
Well, last thoughts. Not so sure, but I remember, you know. But I have been excited about this concept of the personal relationship since kind of having some of those thoughts around relationships that people have with one another. Yeah. Like you and I, we became friends in a work situation. But it became a personal relationship. There were a lot of people that we knew, on the job. We could call them by name.
Yeah.
We could maybe sit down and have lunch with them, but we could say you want to go for a walk around the track or whatever. But we achieved something that was a little bit different than that, because we developed a trust that we'd be able to share things.
Yeah.
And to feel safe and to communicate.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
There are some people that you certainly don't want to tell your secrets to. That's for sure.
Yeah. That is true.
That has to be a very special relationship if you're gonna talk about your deepest feelings and not find out that the boss found out and now wants to demote you because whatever, you know. So I think that idea of comparing human relationships to the relationship with God. Now, our relationship with God isn't really at the human level with all the human limitations, but we can understand something about the relationship and how to grow it when we make some of the comparisons, like the people with whom we keep a kind of a distance, but we know them. The people who we know a few things about and can have a nice chat with, the people that we and then the people that we really care about, and it matters not what we get back from it, because we're serving God in the situation, and we're I think it's to have the personal relationship with God, to see others the way Jesus does, instead of the way we do,
yeah,
is very healthy emotionally. You don't have to go through the day angry at a person who did you wrong.
Yeah.
They did you wrong. That's kind of on them, and you can still love them, pray for them, and wish the best for them, because that's how Jesus feels about them. And so you don't have to go through the day angry, humiliated, embarrassed.
I love that, Bob. I love it.
It's good for our emotional health to evaluate our relationship with God and make it more personal.
Yeah, that is true. And sadly,
open line communication.
Yeah. We know that also a personal relationship really costs, you know, because it's not when you have a relationship that carry, you know, if something going wrong, you wanna try to reconnect with a person, like even if you're going through a process, you know. So we definitely recommend everybody to establish, if you don't have it already, a real personal relationship with God, you know. And let me invite everybody to go to the church, you know, tomorrow, fellowship. You can connect with the app, download the app, and that way you will be able to be able to connect with the fellowship. Also the website, which is the fellowship, the T for Texas and then C for city.com, you know, fellowshiptc.com, and you will be able to connect. We know we have 3 different services at 8:15 in the morning, 10 a.m. and 11:45. 3 different services on Sunday for your convenience, you know. And our address is 2222 North Highway 106, Texas City. And then our zip code is 77590. Have a cool one, brother. We really want you to join it. Oh, also, if you have a church, if you live in Connecticut, Bob, what church you recommend over there?
Well, I don't really recommend churches because the importance of those personal relationships, right?
Yeah.
You go where you can feel comfortable and you feel God's spirit moving, and you don't be afraid to try things out.
There's a lady, I like that.
A wonderful lady that comes to our church. It's a Salvation Army church. And a lot of people say, I didn't know the Salvation Army was a church. But you go to any Salvation Army place on a Sunday and go to church and, you know, and be kind of pleasantly surprised. It's a little bit like the Methodists in some ways. But there's a lady that comes, and she had gone to about half a dozen churches in the neighborhood because she had to walk from her apartment to the church on Sundays. Mm. And when she came to ours, what she liked about it was that in this particular congregation, we have people that speak 2 different languages and we use interpreters. And she only speaks one of the languages, but she said, but you know, I like this because it really makes me feel that everybody's welcome. Amen, you know, it's really, amen. This is what she said, this is what I think that God's, you know, that the kingdom of heaven is like, all different people together, all different people.
Yep.
So even, you know, in her case, she moved around, she practiced, she tried things out, and she found what was right for her. So everyone has to, you know, get the courage up to try lots of places until they find something that's comfortable and helps them to grow and challenges them into the personal relationship with God.
Yeah, that is true, Bob. You remind me that in Revelation, John say, Lord, who's all these people from different language? And those are the one who has conquered of the great, great, great tribulation, you know. And you, that kind of like a similar in our church, you know, we have also Spanish speaking, even people that only speak Spanish, and also people that speak English. And we also have the service, you know, to translate real time, you know, because it's not, let it do like a Spanish services when you segregate one group from another. No, we are all together, and you're going to be part of this particular group, you know, it's amazing what God has been doing in the church, you know. And just like Bob said, look for the church that share the Lord, you know, that you feel really that you are growing in a personal relationship with God. Because you can, I know it's personal, but also when you, the Bible said, you know, don't stop from having a meeting in a church, you know, because that's going to help you. Because our personal relationship with God also is a very shadow from our personal relationship with friend and brother and sister, you know, in Christ. So thank you, Bob, for this opportunity to be with us, to definitely illustrate our... Yeah,
you're in the warm weather. I'm in the cold weather.
Yeah. We were like, I was in the. Right now, it might be a little bit getting a little bit shitty. I think I heard that next week we're gonna have a very very deep cold weather. You know, but you, I know you have a lot of snow for a while. You know.
Yeah, they say we're going to have a very warm day this week. It's going to go up to 40 degrees on Tuesday.
Wow. And we are still going to continue, you know, I think in this month, maybe a few couple of days, we might have another snow coming over here, you know. But the snow from here is not never similar from your side, you know, because over here is maximum maybe 5 inches and go quickly, you know. And this is if, because most of the time it become like just water, you know. But thank you so much, Bob, for this blessing. You know,
my pleasure. And good to see you. And tomorrow night, I guess around the same time, we'll do this in Spanish.
Yes, well, a little bit early, but because it says 6 from Standard Central Time, you know, which is for you a little bit, maybe a 7, right?
Yeah.
Because you have 1 hour ahead. All right. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in with us. And we invite you to the next episode Saturday. Thank you and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Good night.